Chapter 22. Blood Hunt. The Price of Glory. An Unworthy Son. The Conqueror. Terran near orbit, 7th of Quartus. Khan's presence terrified the bridge crew. Lotara's arms men stiffened when he entered, holding their weapons down but ready. The sound of his tread clanging slowly off the deck made the deck officers cower. They could smell the blood caked onto his weapons. They shivered at the clink of the chains that bound them to his armor. Let them tremble, he thought. Let them fear me. Lotara Sarin feared him too, but she was brave enough to face him. The ship and crew were ragged. Maintenance went undone. Whole areas of the command deck were dark. Machines spilled cabled entrails onto the deck. The smell of blood was ever present. Dust lay thickly on abandoned stations. The crew's uniforms were filthy, and there were far too few of them on the bridge. Murder whittled them away. Sarin, too, was dirty and unkempt. The blood print honor she bore on her uniform was lost beneath 100 other stains, but she, unlike her ship, was still proud. She'd been waiting impatiently for him, and got up to speak to Khan as soon as he approached her command throne. "We have a big problem," she said as he reached her. Khan swallowed thickly. He grunted. He forced his panting breath into the patterns of speech.
"No greeting, Lotara. No inquiry after my health."
His voice was an intoxicated slur. Controlling his urge to violence took all of his concentration. The longer they were in orbit, the harder the nails pounded, and the louder the whispered demands in his head were that he spill blood. Command was an unwelcome distraction. He had to fight.
"I don't have time for your attempts at humour. Neither do you. Not if you want to see this war out and not die at the hands of your own father," she said. She was rake-thin, worn out by the struggle to impose some order on her ship.
"Do it," she ordered one of her officers. "Put it on the hololith." Khan's hands flexed impatiently around the haft of Gorechild. The axe was never away from his hands. He'd rather lay aside his limbs.
"I do not have time for this either.
"Make time.
Look. Listen, damn you, Khan. Wake up. Look at what you have done." A cylindrical projection sprang on. Blood red from top to bottom, it appeared to be malfunctioning. It was not. An awful roaring emanated from the audio projectors, accompanied by screams so thin they were barely audible. A huge, inhuman hand swept by, taloned fingers spread, slashing downwards. A tumble of limbs and gore spread across the floor.
"And?"
said Khan. The nails thumped softly in his skull at the display, tempting him to indulge in a similar slaughter on the bridge. The crew left were below half strength. All of them knew what he was capable of. They expected him to kill them. Why should he disappoint? His forefinger twitched towards the switch that would send the mica dragon's teeth into a blur. He estimated he could cut down 20 of the bridge crew before they raised a single gun against him.
"The mortals die. The legionaries do not."
"Angron is rampaging through the thrall decks," Lotara said. "We've too few men left. We can't afford losses, not like this."
He imagined taking her skull. She was physically weak, but her efforts had sent millions of men to their deaths. She would be a worthy offering to the brass throne. The idea horrified him, only a little, but enough to make him force his thoughts back under control.
"He'll kill them all, I'm sure. And we have a more pressing problem."
"Explain,"
breathed Khan, a dangerous throaty whisper.
"Since you shut him down there, Angron has been butchering his way through the ship. He is getting dangerously close to the Engineerium. If he gets in there and slaughters the transmechanic clades, the whole ship could go up. Or he'll get bored and find his way up here. Then you'll have to fight him."
Khan stared at the image. Angron's demonic face swung into view. A yellow eye squinted into the vid auger. A giant fist followed, punching it into nothing and sending the projection cylinder into a fuzz of static. He would fight Angron.
He could.
Cut the feed,
Lotara said. The projection cylinder winked out.
Can't you stop him? We've come this far. I don't want it to end before we have the chance to fight.
My father is doing what he wants,
said Khan, swallowing a mouthful of coppery saliva.
Nothing can restrain him. He will not go back into the vault. He has become too strong to contain. I...
Blood. Angron spilled blood. A voice in his head demanded to know why Khan did not. Lotara took a step closer to him.
Khan! Khan! Listen to me,
she snapped.
I am listening,
he said with difficulty.
Khan, I know this is hard for you, she said gently, but I know you can hear me and that you understand. Angron has to be stopped.
Khan looked down on her. His pulse thundered in his brain, each beat of his heart's a terrible agony.
You were his favorite. He gave you the blood mark himself, and you want to lock him away. Our father wished to be first on Terra. He was on the verge of rage anyway. Seeing Mortarion's legion sent in before ours is an insult. We are fortunate he did not leave the Conqueror to attack the Death Guard.
This is not a good situation, she said.
He is contained. You sealed him in, as I ordered. Let him alone. He can do little harm where he is.
That is little harm,
she said, her face wrinkled in disbelief.
Little harm does not encompass the slaughtering of our tech carder and the resulting reactor death.
What do you suggest?
Said Khan. He looked at her through a red haze. Saren was renowned for her cool head, but she too was feeling the effects of Angron's influence. The crew had suffered the attentions of the Legion for a long time. He thought it likely they would soon turn on each other, as the legionaries had.
We are changed, Lotara. This ship is a crucible of rage. The pull to violence in my mind is so strong that the slightest faltering of concentration will see a scene on this command deck similar to the one below.
He moved. The chain binding his weapon to his wrist clinked. Lotara's gaze flicked to the head of the great axe.
I think now of how much pressure will be required for me to crush your skull. How many shots your armsmen will have time to fire before I cut them down. Let Angron vent his fury on the thralls. Better then than more legionaries. I can spare no more thought for the matter.
She shook her head.
No! No, if this is allowed to go on, we are all dead. We have to either confine him or get him off the ship. Only you can do that. You have to pull yourself together. Snap out of your bloodlust, Khan. Help me.
If he attempts to land on Terra, he will die,
said Khan.
So say Magnus and Leyak and the other mystics. Insufficient blood has been offered to the lords in the warp. The Emperor denies the Neverborn access. Not until Terra's soil is damp with vitae will the gates open for their kind.
Demons,
she said harshly.
How has it come to this?
She looked at him fiercely.
How did this happen to you?
They are our allies, he said. Angron is blessed by the gods in the warp, and he is still my genesire.
She nodded and massaged her forehead.
He is still Angron, I know. He is in there.
She snapped her gaze back up to his face.
Do you wish him to die?
Privation and time had aged her so much while he remained strong. She would be dead in not so many years, he thought, if she managed to survive the war. A poor end for such an accomplished killer. Better to die a warrior's death in battle. He could offer her that honor.
He might survive the detonation,
she said. She was speaking quickly, aware Khan's thoughts were drifting.
Will he survive an attempt to reach Terra? Do you want to find out?
Khan shook his head slowly.
Then I have an idea.
The nightfall. She was gabbling now. She had a limited period while Khan would remain calm.
The Night Lords,
he said dismissively.
A few weeks ago I received some intelligence, she said. From the 20th Legion? They told me there is some kind of prison made for a Primarch on the Nightfall. If we can get them to take Angron, it will keep him occupied for a while, long enough until the time comes for him to land.
The Khan of old would have interrogated her as to how the Alpha Legion gave her this message and why. But such finesse of thought was beyond him now, lost under an ocean of blood.
"How?"
he said. It was all he could manage to say. "You'll have to do it," she replied. She rubbed her hand over her face again. "You'll have to do all of it. The arrogant dogs won't answer my requests for communication. They might listen to you."
"Might,"
said Khan. His sense of self floated on a sea of red, threatening to sink at any time. He could taste the blood, hear the screams.
"Kiss, curse you," she snapped. "Might! It's the best chance we have. Send the message," she commanded.
Her hololith master nodded and began to direct his few remaining serfs. A floating orb coasted down from the ceiling near to Khan, ready to capture his image for transmission.
"I did not agree,"
said Khan, his voice dreamily murderous. In his mind's eye, he saw terror burning and bodies falling before his axe.
"Another damn thing we don't have time for," she said.
"Send my request again to the Nightfall. Inform them Lord Khan, 8th Captain of the 12th Legion, equerry of the Primarch Angron, wishes to speak with their leader." She turned her attention back to Khan.
"There's some treacherous horseman in charge now. No sign of Kurz. Sevatar, I have heard, is dead."
"Khan,"
she said. His attention drifted back to her.
"Who will I speak with?"
An acceptance chime tolled from the hololithic communications station.
"My lady, I have their assent. Activate the projection field," she said.
The hololithic phantom of a youthful-looking space marine stood upon the deck life-size. He was unusually flamboyant in appearance for one of his kind. The long pale hair draped over his shoulders was more characteristic of Fulgrim's warriors than Kurz's, and his armour gleamed, subsurface projection plates making it squirm with lightning effects. He lacked the skulls and fetishes of bone worn by his brethren. Most striking were the vertical black ovals tattooed over his eyes and the large sword strapped to his left side. Khan recognized it as a weapon of the warp. He growled instinctively. A weakling's weapon.
"My Lord Scryvok, the Painted Count," said Lotara, bowing. "Might I present to you the Lord Khan, equerry to the Primarch Angron, master of the 8th...
"Yes, yes,"
said Scryvok, waving his hand.
"Your minions will aid all this. Besides, who would not recognize the great Khan? Such a reputation."
He clucked his tongue.
"My, my. 8th Captain Khan. What an unexpected pleasure."
Everything about the Night Lord howled with insincerity. His posture, his smile, the tone of his voice.
"What can I possibly do for so vaunted a warrior as yourself?"
"I want a service from you," said Khan bluntly.
Scryvok laughed.
"How very forwards! You're not speaking with some fame-dazzled captain. I am the commander of the Night Lords in this war zone. Perhaps leader of the Legion itself."
"By what rights?" said Khan.
Scryvok gripped the hilt of his sheathed sword with his left hand.
"By right of conquest. I thought you might respect that."
"I have never respected any Night Lord," Khan managed not to say. He wanted to challenge the captain to a duel right there. Enough of his wits remained under the punishing thump of the nails that he refrained.
"Battle is what we are made for. If you have triumphed, then I will speak with you."
This seemed to satisfy Scryvok.
"That's better. I don't want us to get off on the wrong foot. Now to business. This service, whatever it is, it will cost you. Times are not what they were. Nobody gains the Night Lord's aid for free. I have a price in mind, depending on what you require, naturally."
This fool offended him. The butcher's nails pounded harder in his skull at the affront. Khan managed somehow to keep his voice level.
"First, tell me something, Painted Count. I have heard rumors about your vessel. Before we bargain, I must know whether they are true."
Scryvok's eyes narrowed.
"What rumors might they be?" "That your flagship is a prison for a Primarch."
The Night Lord's face crinkled with humor. Starting around his eyes in the depths of his tattooed stripes, his smile was entirely dark in nature.
"Don't tell me. You're having trouble with your transcendent lord. Favoured of Corn, or whatever this god's name is. I suppose that is what happens when one hearkens to gods. You wish me to take that monster aboard my vessel?
He smiled condescendingly.
My, my. What an interesting proposition.
This is getting us nowhere, said Khan.
Cut communications before I decide to go and cut off his head.
No, wait,
countermanded Lotara, holding out her hand to stop her communications officer.
Forgive me, Lord Scryvok. Khan is much troubled by his father's predicament. At least let us know if it is true. Is there somewhere upon the Nightfall that might hold our lord until it is time for him to join the battle? Does this prison exist?
A prison? No, said Scryvok. It is more than that. It is a labyrinth devised by Perturabo himself to torment Vulcan. As you might imagine, it is ingenious and deadly in design. The Drake was one of the Emperor's more intelligent sons.
How do you know this?
Growled Khan.
How do I know you speak the truth?
Mostly because I was put into it,
said Scryvok.
You escaped,
said Khan.
You? Then it is not fit to hold a Primarch.
Scryvok smirked.
It'll hold your Primarch. He is a mindless monster. I did escape, but I confess I had help. The labyrinth will hold your lord. Not forever. I imagine all those little traps and dilemmas will slow him down, not at all, and he'll simply batter his way out. But it will occupy him for a time.
How long?
Asked Lotara.
Long enough, said Scryvok. The moment approaches when he will be able to manifest on Terra, does it not? That is the War Master's plan.
And how do you know that?
Said Khan neutrally. The nails burned into his hindbrain. He did not like this Scryvok. He was pompous, melodramatic, playing the villain's role like an actor.
As I said, I have help.
Scryvok's hand twisted around his sword's leathern grip. He thought a moment.
I will do it,
he said.
We will take him. But I require something from you in return.
What do you require for this service?
Scryvok's unpleasant grin spread wider.
This will surprise you, but I want something you have in great supply, Lord Khan. I want glory. And you have so much of that, I am sure you can spare me a little.
Khan passed through heavy blast doors from the upper levels of the ship into the abattoir of the thrall decks. The doors were multiple layered and strong. Even with his mind half drunk on the lust for blood, Khan saw the irony inherent to those doors. Angron had spent his youth as a slave, fighting for other slaves. His anger towards the Emperor sprang from his inability to save his fellows. Yet he became a master of slaves himself, and wary enough of them to keep them under tight control as brutal as that meted out by his former owners. As time had passed and the Legion degenerated, the doors had provided a little safety to the abused multitudes of the crew. This part of the ship was one place where Khan's brothers could not easily go. The decks had been in a terrible state even before Khan shut Angron in. Now they were close to ruinous. The lumens were out. Sparks spat lethargically from severed cabling. Bodies clogged every corridor of the thrall decks, not a single one of them entire. The whole warren of workshops, serviceways, barracks, food halls and conduits stank, that nauseating battle reek of spilled guts and fear. Viscera festooned the walls like celebratory flags. Scraps of flesh spattered every surface. Khan paused and swung his head around, tasking his auto-senses with a deep sweep of his immediate surroundings. Boosted by the ship's internal auspex, his helm senses scryed 50 meters in every direction, providing him with an accurate cartolithic display of the area, a long way in the convoluted bowels of a void ship. Among the maze of corridors, he found not one sign of life. It was so quiet. In the dark there, he could feel the Conqueror itself. The machine soul of the battleship had grown fierce with the spilling of blood. It was watching Khan. None of Angron's victims could have put up much of a fight. Where the bodies hadn't been smashed into a pulp by the Primarch, Khan saw only wounds to the rear. They died running. The sight could not disturb Khan, he who had slaughtered civilizations. For years now, blood and death had ruled the corridors of the Conqueror. Angron had dispatched him below decks to kill 300 thralls himself, to build a throne from their skulls. Even so, the extent of Angron's massacring stirred disgust in his flinty heart. There was no honour in this, no skill, no point, only butchery for the sake of killing. Blood must be spilled. Their god demanded it. But there were better ways to make sacrifice than this. He stopped to let his cartilith update. This part of the vessel had never been legionary territory, and he would be lost down there without the map. More pressingly, he did not know if Angron's otherworldly form would register on his battleplate's autosenses. He had no desire to stumble across his genesire unprepared. He shifted his grip on Gorechild, his axe. Its teeth glinted. His thumb hovered over the activation stud.
"My lord,"
he called into the darkness.
"It is I, Khan."
The drip of blood and creaking of cooling machinery replied. Maglocked to his thigh, next to his holstered plasma pistol, was a teleport beacon. There were no armourers left in the Conqueror's ruined workshops, so Khan himself had fastened a heavy barbed spike to the shaft. Khan hadn't checked the Homer mounted at the other end. Its ready light blinked when activated, but he had forgotten how to run the checks needed to ensure it definitely worked. Another part of his past drowned in the ocean of blood filling his soul. Either it would perform, or he would die according to the will of his god. He paid it little attention, letting it bump along the ground as he prowled through the underdecks. Each turn of the corridors, each open door, showed him the same bloody ruin. The steady blink of the teleport Homer's ready light flashed on thousands of lifeless thralls. The dead were scattered everywhere. In places they were reduced by Angron's ferocity to thick slurries of gore, where recognisable body parts were few and far between. In places the Primarch's sword had cut into the walls, and there the wounded metal shone with dark light. Khan passed a spur corridor leading to the upper decks, closed off at the far end by an armoured door. According to his cartilith, the corridor was over 50 meters long. He could not see to the end, for the corridor was packed by the standing dead. The bodies nearer the main way were smears of red. Further into the crowd, the thralls' wounds became less severe, until about 10 meters in, they exhibited no sign of physical harm. The mortals had crushed each other in their panic to escape, creating a press so tight that Angron could not get to them all. It had done them no good, for they had suffocated. Khan grunted at the sight and moved on. He neared the Engenarium section and several possible routes of escape for the Primarch. Blast doors leading out to the lower embarkation decks and stores were scarred by accidental cuts. Evidently Angron had been focused on his quarry, or he would have sliced his way out there. No mortal material could stop the otherworldly blade of Angron's sword for long. Shortly after, Khan emerged onto the observational gallery of a long hexagonal hold. The walls were punctuated by four sets of doors down the sides, also hexagonal, and surrounded by hazard stripings splashed with blood. Corpses lay about like storm-tossed leaves. When he descended stairs to the hold floor, his feet splashed through deep puddles of blood. The hold had been exhausted of supplies some time ago. Thralls had set up tents in the corners and more elaborate homes in empty containers, turning it into an ugly shanty town. If they sought sanctuary there, it had done them no good. Their bodies were sprawled over the wreck of their possessions.
"Lutara,"
he voxed. His voice was obscenely loud in the confines of his helm.
"Lutara, this is Khan. Have you any sign of him?"
The vox beads hissed in his ear.
"Lutara!"
The vox clicked. "Khan, we've lost him. Lutara's voice was faint. Khan stopped walking.
Where?
Before he reached the Enginarium. He's gone to ground. We can't find him on any of the augers. Most of the internal systems are out. Lutara's voice dropped out in a burble of static, dominated by the pulsing of an electromagnetic heart. He was so close to the reactor, it interfered with the vox. Its beating sounded uncannily like the throb of the nails.
Lutara,
he said. Her voice reasserted itself over the pulsing hiss. The vox relay down decks must have been compromised. Shielding around the reactor blocks signals from outside. You could try to find a hard line.
I see none,
Khan said.
Will Scryvok be able to receive my notification?
Keep your vox channel open to me, said Lutara. I will relay the order when you have him.
Do not trust the Night Lord, said Khan.
This is the best chance we have. Stop your father, or our war is over. Khan left the channel open and moved on again. More holds came and went, all emptied long ago. The dried-up corpses of past rampages lay black in the corners. The pulse of the reactor on the open vox channel grew louder. The temperature rose. Khan reached the edge of the thrall decks and stores, beyond which the Enginarium sections began. In a hold half a kilometre long, he found his father. Khan felt the Primarch's presence as a great warm patch of rage, welling up from the dark spaces between stacked cargo containers. In the hold, a place of silent cranes and dusty supplies, Angron's fury was as obvious as a volcano spewing lava. But exactly where the Primarch was, Khan could not say. Every avenue dividing the supply stacks was a potential ambush site. He could not fight his father and win. When Angron was united with his legion, many years gone by, he had killed every captain sent to speak with him apart from Khan. None of them had fought back. Khan vowed to defend himself this time. But even so, he would die. Though he was renowned as the greatest warrior among the Legiones Astartes, even Khan could not beat Angron before his transformation. Now, infused with the power of the warp and sharing the God of War's infinite rage, Angron was practically invincible. Khan unhooked the teleport beacon and proceeded in a crouch with his axe ready. He did not need to fight to win, only long enough to tag his gene father with the device. The sooner it was done, the better. There was no honour in skulking around in the shadows.
Father!
He called.
Father! It is I, Khan!
His amplified voice echoed through the hold.
Father!
Something huge moved way off in the dark. Khan turned around while his auto-senses struggled with the echoes in their attempt to triangulate the movement.
Father!
Khan.
Angron's voice rumbled from the dark, so low and powerful the deck trembled.
Why are you here?
I have come to find you, Father. The Conqueror is at risk. We can afford no more deaths among the crew.
Angron laughed.
Khan, Khan. Lord Khorne demands blood and skulls. Do you not hear his cries? Blood and skulls.
Khan felt a stir of unease. He heard the whispers. The words remained elusive, but the furious insistence that murder be done and blood spilled was clear enough. He feared hearing what the words would say. He knew that enlightenment would come in time.
I do not hear him, my lord,
said Khan.
You will. He values you, my son.
Heavy footsteps thumped deep in the stacks. Knocked chains jangled.
These slaves are unworthy offerings for the blood god. But you, Khan, your skull will make a fine gift.
Angron came out of nowhere. Khan barely had time to twist aside from the blow of his unholy sword. The blade, longer than Khan was tall, embedded itself in the deck. Green fire sheathed it, eating into the metal. Khan leapt back too late. Angron's backhand clipped him, sending him noisily into the side of a cargo container. Khan's bulk pushed a deep dent into the metal, and he struggled to get out before Angron wrenched his sword free and whirled it around at his head. Khan fell forwards from the dent just as the blade hissed through the air, splitting the container's side wide open. Plastic-wrapped packets bounced off the floor. He pushed up with his legs, parrying the next blow with Gorechild. The impact jarred him from head to toe, and he reeled back down an avenue between the containers, turned, and ran. Angron pounded after him. Khan slipped into a dark space and eluded his father. He leaned back against metal. Both his hearts thundered. The butcher's nails sang their melodies of pain into the meat of his brain, urging him to fight.
"You stole my axe, Khan," Angron growled. "You took my weapon from me. Now you steal his favor. Khorne's eye strays from me to you."
"I serve only you, my father," Khan called.
"You serve me by hunting me in the dark."
"Only to bring you to the battle, my lord." Angron snarled. Khan risked glimpsing down the avenue. Angron strode past, a monster from myth, horned, huge, red-skinned, nostrils twitching as he sniffed out his son. Bloodstink and anger washed off him in hot waves. He was mighty, but his God-given gifts had robbed him of all art other than killing, and Khan remained hidden.
"What battle would that be?" Angron rumbled. "The battle against tedium, as we watch Mortarian sons fight where we should. The battle against my brother's arrogance. Horus defies Khorne. Khorne demands we fight for him now, yet the War Master keeps us caged."
Metal squealed as he upended a stack of containers, hundreds of tons in weight, as if they were empty card boxes. The boom of them falling to the deck took a long moment to die.
"I am the Avatar of Rage. The power of the warp runs through me, my son. I will not be chained like a dog any longer. Not by the Emperor, not by Horus, and not by you. You are a fool to come here. I will kill you. There will be blood. There will be skulls. Khorne cares not whence the blood flows."
Angron threw over another stack. Khan used the cover of the noise to run out unnoticed behind his father. Angron's whole upper body heaved with each breath, leathery wings flexed. Every movement he made revealed a towering anger barely contained. Khan recognized the condition in himself. Khan ran, Gorechild in one hand, the unwieldy spear of the teleport homer in the other. Gathering all his strength, he leapt, the fiber muscles in his battle plate sending him high. He crashed into Angron's back and buried the teleport homer deep in his father's searing red skin, between the shoulders, where, even with great determination, the Primarch would struggle to knock it loose. Angron's reaction was immediate and furious. He roared loudly, spinning around, knocking Khan back. Khan landed heavily and scrambled up, while Angron's hand came up, scratching at his back. But though his black nails brushed the teleport homer, it refused to be dislodged.
"You have no honor! Attacking from behind!"
Yellow eyes blazed.
"No true son of mine would stoop so low. We are warriors. We face our enemies. We look them in the eye before we take their heads for the skull throne. You are weak. All of you! Slaves to my father, then slaves to me. I should have killed you that day you first came to me. You are weak."
Khan backed away. The urge to throw himself into battle with his father was crippling his mind.
"Lotara, no!"
He spoke through a mouthful of blood. Fluid ran down his nasal passages from his bleeding brain and drooled from his lips and out of the open vent of his breathing grill.
"Lotara! Lotara!"
he snarled.
"No!"
Static replied. Angron was on him. He jumped, wings spread, half gliding, half falling towards his equerry. All sign of recognition, of humanity, was absent from the Primarch's face, subsumed by the need to kill. His black sword hissed through the air, bringing a thin scream from reality as it too was wounded. The butcher's nails pounded in time with the thumping of Khan's hearts.
"Lotara!"
he managed, but the nails sang louder and his words snagged in his throat. Roaring, he dodged Angron's swing and surged forwards, gunning Gorechild's motor as he cut down towards his father's knee. The Primarch kicked, sending Khan hurtling sideways and cracking his breastplate. He drew his plasma pistol as he rolled out of the way of Angron's stamping foot. A return swing of the sword took off part of Khan's pauldron. Sickly sweet smoke boiled off the damaged ceramite. He rolled again, too far gone into anger to feel the stab of his broken ribs. The plasma pistol whined as it charged. Gorechild blocked another punishing blow. Black sword locked with dragon's teeth. Ligaments tore in Khan's arm as his father forced his weapon down towards his face. Gorechild's engine screamed, the tooth track locked onto the edge of the demon Primarch's blade. Priceless mica dragon teeth smoked as demonic fires ate into them.
"You are disappointing, Khan,"
said Angron. The sword was closing on Khan's face. Angron grunted with the effort of forcing down the blade.
"I thought if any of my sons could test me, it would be you. I was wrong. You are weak. And you..."
Khan fought to speak.
"You have lost your mind, my lord."
The plasma pistol let out a ready note. Khan brought it up and fired it point blank into Angron's face. The heat from the plasma stream seared Khan's face within his helmet. Angron roared and reeled back, his eyes cooked to steam and his cheeks stripped back to smoking bone. Khan pushed himself up, playing the pistol across his father's chest. The gun let out a warning, but Khan fired until it overheated and vented superheated coolant all down his arm. Red lights flashed by its charging coils. The gun was useless. He disengaged the power feed and threw it aside. Angron staggered back, crashing into a pile of containers that crumpled like paper under his weight. Angron roared and thrashed in agony, but already the damage was being made good. Eyes swelled like moist fungal fruits in empty sockets. Charred flesh swelled with rehydration. Skin closed over deep burns. Veins and nerves spread across exposed bone, followed by muscle and fat.
"You cannot beat me. You are as unworthy as these pathetic slaves."
Khan readied himself. His muscles burned. Gorechild shook in his weakened grip.
"Father,"
he said in a drool-soaked growl,
"I do not wish to fight you." "You have no choice,"
Angron bellowed.
"There is only war."
The black sword hurtled down again. Khan could not block it, he knew, but held Gorechild ready to deflect the blade and prepared the blow he would land before he died. Angron's roar battered at Khan. Lightning skittered all over the demon Primarch. Wisps of corpusant streamed off his body in a white fog. Then, with a clap of air rushing suddenly into a vacuum, he was gone. Khan fell down. His right hand refused to work, and he wrestled his helm off with his left, vomiting blood copiously onto the floor. The nails hammered at him relentlessly. "Khan!" The vox beads in his ears rattled with the reactor's angry beat. "Khan! Khan! Can you hear me? Are you still alive? Khan! The Night Lords have the Primarch, Khan!" Khan coughed. His enhancements and armor were working in tandem to repair the damage to his body, and where they could not, to numb the pain. He sat down, legs out in front of him. "Khan!" he said.
You took your damn time."
The Nightfall, Terran near orbit, 7th of Quartus. Angron appeared in a blaze of teleport light. His sword was still chopping down, and it smashed into the deck of an unfamiliar room. He wrenched the weapon from the metal, ready to slay his son for the greater glory of the Blood God. Khan was not there. Angron growled. His rage was checked for a moment. The ship smelled strange. Its sounds were different. He sniffed the air. He was alone. A single portal led out of a featureless heptagonal space. Through this he ventured into a cylindrical corridor. A gate slammed down behind him as soon as he was through. Small laser emitters rolled from apertures in the wall and onto tracks cut helically into the tube. The emitters snapped on, their beams constant and razor thin, and spun themselves into a whirling vortex. The door behind Angron squealed forwards, pushing the Primarch towards the lasers. One stung his skin, then a second, until he was forced into them, and they scored his flesh with a netted pattern that would have cut his original body into chunks. They merely pricked his warp-formed flesh. Angron snarled, brought up the black sword, and smashed them all into oblivion. He strode forwards through the smoke of destruction and into the next chamber, where another trial awaited him. That, too, he overcame with the sharp edge of his sword.